just remind you that when we first started study of the book of Hebrews, remember in Hebrews 1, we talked about God speaking to men through his son in these days, Jesus Christ. And the theme of the book had to do with the Hebrew people that were considering going back into Judaism. This study has gone so far and it's reached so deep until even I myself have sort of forgotten about the grand purpose of the book, which is to remind the Hebrews, and that's what Paul was doing, reminding the Hebrew people that what you've got right now is greater than anything that your fathers had, because you are now walking in the substance of the types that once existed. And so the Lord has been dealing with me along these lines and helping me and just teaching me and keeping me into the story. It's amazing. We'll spend a whole message on one verse, but actually that one verse opens up the whole life of whatever character we're talking about in that book. And when we got on Abraham, all of a sudden it got expanded. And Abraham was just not a man that you could just gloss over and just go with one verse. And then we hit Isaac, and even Isaac was quite a challenging subject, and still is, bless his heart. And so Isaac had to do with his wife Rebekah and his two sons, Jacob and Esau. And in the last, Isaac had his hands full with Jacob and his wife, because there was a matter of a birthright and that type thing. So the Lord just bless us this morning, and I pray, Lord, that you bless us and touch us and get us through this study, and help me, Lord, to say what it is that you've given me to say, and that I might say it accurately and get out of your way and out of the way of the people, Lord, that they might see you and not see me. Lord, we see men and hear from men all the time. We don't need another touch from man, Lord. Today we need a touch from you. To that end, Lord, I pray that you'll touch us today by your word and by your spirit. Help us, Lord, to see the truths for each of our hearts that you've set apart here for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We made it to Hebrews 11:21. And basically just one verse here for us today. It says, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. When our last encounter with Jacob, we learned of the cunning and crafty way that he tricked his father Isaac and his brother Esau out of his birthright. It was quite a coup for Jacob and his lovely mother. But listen, Jacob did not pull this off on his own. He had help of his mother Rebekah. She intercepted the plans of Isaac and Esau to go ahead and extend that blessing to Esau, even though Esau had already sold his birthright. But Isaac and Esau had other plans. But his mother launched a secret plan for Isaac to unknowingly bless Jacob instead. So to accomplish this plan, it took timing, it took deception, and it took teamwork. An organized team is always better than one that's just flying off the handle there. And they got it together. They were in agreement. It was two tricksters against two. In the end, Jacob received the blessing and Esau did not. Look, Isaac and Esau knew that Jacob, through sleuth and trickery, obtained the blessing. But the scripture nowhere says that they know anything about Rebekah's role in it. Nowhere does it say that nobody got mad at Rebekah. No one knew that she was doing this. But oh, Jacob, that was different. And regardless of the way this happened, the Bible says it's not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but it is of God. So I say that because sometimes people think that they can help God to to do what he wants done. And folks will get involved and start, say, well, he want to get here, so this is how I'm going to help him get there. And a number to mess from here to there, what you're trying to do. When we just wait on him, just wait. You know how often he's had to tell me, wait. Wait. But I'm looking right. Wait. Wait. In Genesis 24:3, Abraham sent his servant back to Haran to find a wife for Isaac. He sent him back to his, almost to his homeland. Actually, Abram's homeland was Ur of the Chaldees. But they wind up coming from Haran because Abram's father had left their homeland and was headed for Egypt. They never made it. I think it was Canaan in Egypt or something like that. But they never made it, but they wound up in Ur, not Ur, but in Haran. And then Abram's father died there. And it was from there that God called Abram to get away from his kindred. And in 24:15, the servant found Rebekah. When the servant was going looking for a wife, he found Rebekah, who left her family in Haran to marry Isaac. And so we find that he go and get, don't marry here. Go and get one from our own people. Esau sold his birthright in Genesis 25:40. And then in Genesis 27:1-40, it says, through pure sleuth and deception, with Rebekah's help, Jacob stole his brother Esau's blessing. He bought the birthright with a bowl of soup and some bread. He purchased it, but he stole the blessing. So he wound up with the birthright and the blessing. Cunning. Genesis 27:41, the story of Jacob continues with the vow of Esau to kill his brother Jacob when his father died. He was going to kill him. Once again, guess what? Guess who stepped in? Go ahead, guess. You give up? God, through Rebekah. Rebekah found out. Somebody went and told her about the plan. And then 27:43, she counseled him to get out of here, get out of town, flee, and go back to my brother Laban's house. And I want you to go there and be with him just for safety, because your brother's, he's going to kill you if you stay here. Whenever your dad dies, he's going to kill you. That's what he said. Now, Abram lived to be 175 years, and he never went back to Haran. Isaac lived 180 years, and he never went back to Haran. But Jacob, because of his deception, he had to go back in his lifetime. He went back for his safety. He had to go back. But he went back there, and it's amazing the reason that he went back. In Genesis 27:46, Rebekah spoke to Isaac, and pretended to be concerned that Jacob might marry one of the women of the land. She called him daughters of Heth in Canaan. Of Heth. Now, these were Canaanite women, and come to find out, these women were very poor, bad morals. They would marry and then put on their prostitution garments and garments, and they go out and have themselves a high time sexually. They're married, but they still got about. And they were also, I believe, taunting Rebekah because she was different from a different land. So she had a very difficult time with these daughters. Now we'll tell you a little bit more about that. Now, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing that his father blessed him with. That's in Genesis 27, and we're going to start in verse 41 if you want to read along with that. I know y'all tired of looking at me, so go ahead and Genesis 27:41. Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. That's what he said. It says, and these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's angry turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of both in one day? So she obviously did care for Esau. It's not that she hated Esau. She just loved Jacob. She showed greater favor to her son, Jacob. Now, amazingly here, that was the reason that Jacob was going to leave. But what she told Isaac was something altogether different. Verse 6. I think it's in Genesis. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and read it. It says, and Rebekah, that must be verse 46. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, and that's an aboriginal Canaanite, that's an original race that came in the land, that was in the land. If Jacob take a wife of Heth, such as these, which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life be? Heth, watch this lineage. Heth was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Ham. Canaan was the son of Ham. Ham was the son of Noah. And so it came down from Noah. Noah, then Ham, then Canaan, and then Heth was one of Canaan's sons. The name Heth means terror. It means dread. And that's why I believe they've been just terrorizing her, because of that was their temperament. That's the kind of people that they were. You ever met someone that's just angry and mean and want to fight all the time, and you can't get them to smile, and you tell the best joke in the world and everybody in the room laughing but them? And you're like, did you not hear the joke? You say, did you not see me smiling? And they were just mean and just mean-spirited. But it was something that attracted the men to them. You see, they were probably very beautiful, very shapely. That's why you can't go by beauty and shape. Okay, I just went off script, but I'm just saying. And you counsel your children and the children that you know, because they can fix up so much they look like an angel. Man, you like, Lord have mercy. You look so deceiving. Most times they are. Too much, you don't too much know what you got till it's about too late. You all tied up and wrapped. You can't even find your way to the door, Lord have mercy. Genesis. And so look, this is now, the reason was because Esau was going to kill his brother. But you see what she told her husband? He need a wife, but he don't need a wife from here. She got Isaac so stirred up that in 28:1 in Genesis, he sends Jacob away to Haran with a blessing to go to his uncle Laban's house to find a wife. But the underlying reason was not just to look for a wife, but to escape again the wrath of his brother Esau, who had vowed to kill him. In Genesis 28:1 it says, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, and charged him, and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. He really believed in his wife, Rebekah, you know. Why would she deceive me? Man, let me count the ways. You see? Mm-hmm. But he loved her, though. You know, arise and go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. So Laban was the brother of Rebekah. And he went on and said, and God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, and thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, and thou mayest, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Paddan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. So off he goes. He's gone. Now, this just gets better and better. Verse 6 says, now, here's Esau. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Paddan Aram. Tired of that word. Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not his father. Esau, you know, married some of the daughters of Canaan, by the way, already. Then when Esau, and look where he goes. He goes to Ishmael. Y'all remember Ishmael? He goes to Ishmael, which is an antagonist. That's Hagar's son, the one that Abraham kicked out. And Sarah says, she's got to go, and the child too. They're kicked out. They were homeless until God started blessing them. This is where Esau goes to Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. Esau seemed to always be one step behind. Always one step behind. Selling his birthright, threatening to kill his brother, and marrying the wrong kind of women. Always one step behind. Now, you know, I'm gonna put over here for a minute and say something about the firstborn. Now, the tradition has it that the firstborn gets everything. But it always seems to me like the secondborn is the one that's got the brains, the smarts. And the problem with the firstborn is they won't pay attention to the secondborn until it's too late. And the secondborn, I don't know if it's that they're studying all of the mistakes of the firstborn, but they're sitting back and laying back listening and say, oh, he messed that up. I'll be sure not to do that. Oh, I don't know. Can you believe he did that? Now, just as a personal testimony, as a little child, my brother did not speak. He did not talk, and he was getting bigger. And then I got born. I came into the world, and as I got larger, I learned how to say bread. Bread. When I said bread, mama gave me bread. My brother saw that. He started saying bread. Bread. Now, he beat me here. But he had to wait to see that's how you get bread from his younger brother. And many other stories I can tell you about this wonderful relationship of my brother, who did not live to see 40, by the way. It is, but there's maybe some other messages. We'll get to talk a little bit more about my loving brother, who I was totally crazy about. I loved him so much. So this is Esau. He goes and he does this. He's always seemed to be a step behind. And Jacob went out of Beersheba and went towards Haran in verse 10, and he lighted upon a certain place, stayed there at night, and that's when he had his dream. Jacob saw a ladder reaching up into heaven, and he saw angels ascending and descending upon this ladder. And he saw the Lord God standing there up at the top. And when he woke up, he said to himself, and I'm just going to kind of paraphrase, he said, surely the Lord God is in this place. Now, he had taken some stones to use as a pillow. But when he woke up, he set those stones up as a pillar, from a pillow to a pillar. And he built an altar there and poured oil on it and said, this is the Lord's house. So he called the name Bethel. Yeah, he called it Heaven's Gate. So Jacob saw a vision there. If you remember, Jesus made a statement there in John, a couple of chapters, where he told one of the newer disciples, about himself, and this disciple was astonished. And he says, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of God." He says, "You believe this because I said before I saw thee under the fig tree or the sycamine tree." He says, "Behold, thou shalt see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." He made that statement. And so I go, ascending and descending. Jesus said, ascending and descending. So he's the substance of what this, what Jacob saw. God showed Jacob a vision of what was to come, and it came through the Son of God, but it also came through the lineage of Jacob. It is amazing, this story. So now he comes, and now remember, Jacob is really on the run. He's a fugitive from justice, if you say. He's trying to get away, and I imagine he keeps looking back every once in a while. But his father had not died. But he was still running to get away. But he comes upon a well in Haran. He makes it back to where they began. And he went on his journey, and he came into the land of the Bible says, to the people of the east. He found this well, and he found some flocks, about three flocks, laying around the well. And he asked them, "Where are you from?" And they say, "We're from Haran." He said, "Well, do you know a man by the name of Laban?" They say, "Oh, yes, we do. Is he well?" "Oh, yes, he is well. By the way, here his daughter is coming right now to water her sheep." Genesis 29:6 says, "And he said unto them, Is he well? And they said, He is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep." And Jacob meets Rachel for the first time at the well. And while they yet speak, Rachel shows up there in verse 9 with her father's sheep. And when he saw her, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his brother, Jacob went near, and he rolled a stone from the well. And see, the thing was that they wouldn't touch that stone until all of the flocks came together at one time. And then the stone would be rolled away. I'm sorry, I'm thinking about the tomb. The stone would be moved off the mouth of the well. And they would water their livestock, and then they would put it back. Well, when he saw her, he moved it himself. He moved the stone. And then he kissed her. And he lifted up his voice and wept. He finally made it. And he told Rachel, he says, "Look, I'm your family." That's what he said. And Rebecca is my mother. And it came to pass when Laban heard about it, they said, "My goodness, let's go and see this man." And he says, "Surely you are bone of my bone." He says, "You are flesh of my flesh." And he stayed with him, the Bible says, for the space of a month. That was the beginning of it. And Laban said, "Jacob, because you are my brother, you shouldn't serve me for nothing. You shouldn't just serve me for nothing now. Tell me, what is it that you want me to pay you? What are your wages?" And he said, and the Bible says that he had two daughters. One was Leah, and one that was the oldest one, and the youngest one was called Rachel. And it says Leah had tender eyes, but Rachel was beautiful and well favored. You know us guys. Guys, look at me, y'all. Guys, y'all know us, right? Leah had beautiful eyes, but Rachel was beautiful all over. Well, that's all I get. She was shapely. She had a beautiful face. Her eyes were beautiful. Her hair, with everything you look at her, everything about her, she was a knockout. I'm describing her. You're not gonna find that in scripture. But I studied it. That's what it came out to mean. That's what the meaning meant. Well, you know, we kind of color in between the lines here. Josie, where do you see that at? She was something to behold. And, you know, she was something to behold. Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, "I will serve thee for 7 years for Rachel," in verse 18, "your younger daughter." Laban said, "It's better that I give her to you than one of these people in this land." And he served for 7 years, and It seemed to him but a few days for the love that he had for this woman. It seemed to him but a few days. And then Jacob told Laban, he said, oh, okay, give me my wife now, for my days are fulfilled, so I can go in unto her and I can consummate our wedding. And so here it comes, Laban gathered all of the men of the place. Let's have a celebration and a feast as a marriage today. Glory. Yes, sir. Jacob is getting married to my daughter. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. Hold on. Hold on. He wasn't working for Leah. He was working for Rachel. So all of a sudden, Laban is definitely Rebecca's brother. Because like she tricked him. Yeah, that's a household of tricksters. And he tricked him too. So what I'm going to say, if you got some tricky buddies, don't ask them if they got any sisters. You're going to get tricked. No, don't ask. You keep going. Don't ask. Listen, that's a lot of good information here. It came to pass, look at this, in the morning. So Jacob must have tied one on that night. He must have got good and drunk. Bailed. Lord have mercy. He got up in the morning. He said, wait a minute, that's Leah. He told Laban, he said, what you've done to me? I serve you for Rachel. Now, you tricked me. And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. So now you go ahead there, Jacob, and you fulfill your week. And then I'm going to give you and give this service that you serve me for this. In other words, he had to spend a week with Leah as a husband and wife. That's what he had to do. But then after that, Laban gave him Rachel. It didn't say that he worked any longer for Rachel, but he did stay 7 more years and work. But he gave him Rachel before that. So, and he also gave Leah a handmaid, and he gave Rachel a handmaid as well to help them and that type of thing. And so he also went in unto Rachel, and he verse 30, he loved Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. So he served a total of 14 years for these 2 women, which he should have just only had served 7. But you see, he got a little bit of his own medicine there. But goes around, comes around, right? Now, here's something, it's funny because even though there was great deception taken on, God did not respond to the deception. What he responded to was the way that he treated Leah, his first wife. God considered the marriage legal. He considered it proper. Because what happened is that he opened Leah's womb, and she began to have children. But he closed Rachel's womb up. Leah had she had Reuben, she had Simeon, she had Levi, and she had Judah. His first 4 sons, yet he still loved Rachel. So God did that to get him to care more for Leah. It's a long story, but suffice it to say, between Leah and her maid Zilpah, and Rachel and her maid Bila, Jacob fathered a total of 12 sons and 1 daughter. 12 sons. 1 daughter. And that's another story there. But these women, and I don't know if you women can relate to this, but these women were in an all-out competition for this man. And the competition was to have who can have the most children. And so after Leah had the 4 kids, Rachel said, I'm barren, but he can have kids with my maid. So she sent her maiden in to him, and the maiden started bearing children for Jacob. And Rachel said, well, they're going to be considered mine because everything that she has is mine. And so she was the maid was having kids, and then Leah was getting her maiden to go, and then they were having kids for him, and they were trying to outdo each other. It was a fierce competition, and we're talking 9 months at a time. So imagine how long this competition went on. It was a long time for this man, for Jacob's affection. God blessed him, as his father had said there in Genesis 28:3. Where it says, God Almighty, bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And he got a good start with 12 sons. And by the way, that 12th son became the 12 tribes of Israel. And because Jacob's name was changed to Israel down the road. And so the 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel that we hear so much about all the time. But it started here. Jacob's story seems to go on and on and on. He stayed with Laban and worked with his herd. Jacob accumulated a herd of his own just by working with Laban's herd. He didn't have anything. He accumulated. He couldn't pay a dowry, so he worked for his wives. And he accumulated. His wealth began to accumulate. He left after he had to sneak his family out. Imagine 12 boys, one girl. And who knows what else has happened in that time since he was married there. And Laban, he ran after him. And he finally caught up with him. And he says, you have disrespected me. You disrespected my house. You stole my image. You stole my idol. And he said, what idol? And he said, you searched the camp. And the one who was found would let him die. So Laban searched the camp. And he looked and looked and looked. And Jacob did not steal his idol, but Rachel did. Rachel stole the idol. But Rachel is Laban's granddaughter, his daughter. And she took them and she sat upon them and would not allow anyone to look underneath the place where she sat. They looked everywhere but there. And she said, surely you would not cause me to move because the time of women is upon me. They're like, you know how guys are. Never mind. We don't understand all that anyway, but never mind. Okay, you're all right. So they found nothing. But there was something there. And so, of course, Jacob began to berate Laban. He began to berate him for daring to come and accuse him of this thing. And he really put him down. But Laban she was sneaky like her aunt. At the house, it was a fuss. Yeah, it was something else. Now, it's a long story. It's a good 12 chapters or more of Jacob. It's a way in the world we're going to cover them 12 chapters. And I don't think we need to because today's verse talks about Jacob blessing, blessing. But I just don't see how we should skip over all of this about Jacob, because all of a sudden he becomes a good guy. Last time we talked about him, he was a thief and he was a liar. And all of a sudden he's doing blessing. Oh, no. We need to see some more about the life of this man, Jacob, just to let you know that this is what he's gone through and yet was the blessing that God had designated. This is the life he lived and yet became the blessing that God had designated. Out of the 12 men, the 12 sons of Jacob, and all of the 12 sons, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Joseph, Benjamin, who was born later, way after Joseph. Out of the 12 sons of Jacob, 10 banded together against Joseph. Joseph, he was the youngest at the time. He had a dream. And he said, he dreamt that he saw the sun and moon bow down to him, and he saw the stars bow down to them. That symbolized his mother, his father, and his brothers. They could not stand him. They hated him. His daddy made him a coat of many colors. They was jealous about that. Daddy sent them out on a mission with a sheep or the herd to go out and herd. And they saw, and dad said, listen, go and tell me how it goes with them. And when they saw him coming, they said, here comes this dreamer. Let's catch him and kill him. Now and then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. And so not everybody was in on it. They wanted it done, but he kind of stood back. But they caught him, took off his coat, threw him in a hole, killed one of the animals, covered it with blood, And then they sold him to a caravan going into Egypt. They sold him as a slave. Joseph as a slave. His brother sold him as a slave. They hated him just that much. They wanted to kill him, but somebody prevailed. I didn't study it that deep to remember what it was. But he was taken into a man's house named Potiphar, whom he served faithfully, except he had a problem. Potiphar's wife was hot after him. And she kept coming and saying, lay with me. He said, no. Now, Potiphar has put me over everything in his house but you. I'll not do it. And she came again, lay with me. And it got so bad till he ran out of the house, ran out of his clothes, his coat. She had grabbed a hold of his coat, and he took off running and left his coat. And then when Potiphar came home, she said, you see what this heathen, this whatever she called him, done? He's disrespected me in your house. He tried to sleep with me. Look, in the prison, Joseph goes. Potiphar throws him in the prison. Well, you would too. You women. Y'all women, y'all need to straighten up. Nope, sure have not. Yeah, when he was in jail, a couple of the king's servants were locked up. And, of course, they had a dream, and he interpreted both dreams. The first one, he said that you're going to be, in 3 days, you're going to be restored to service. And the next one got happy, and he restored his dream. He said, oh, by the way, you're going to be hung. And sure enough, in 3 days, the one was taken out. He was restored to the king's service, and the other one was taken out and hung. And the first one, he said, now remember me in this place. Now, when you get out, remember, tell the king about me. That man didn't think about the king. I mean, about Joseph. He was so happy to be out. And then, mess around, and Pharaoh had a dream about the fat and skinny kine, or cattle. Seven fat and seven skinny. And that's when the servants say, now, send you upon me, I remember now. There was a man in prison that interpreted my dream. Send for him. And he'll tell you what this means. And so he sent for him. Hey, man, get shaved, get dressed, take a bath. Come on, the king calls for you. Me calls for you. And he went, and the king told him his dream, and he interpreted the dream. And the next thing you know, Joseph is put into command. He is second in command in all of the land of Egypt. All of the land of Egypt. Because why? God was with him. Listen, God's favor was showed upon him when his father gave him that coat of many colors. God's favor stayed on him even when his brothers threw him in a hole. When they sold him into slavery, he went into slavery with God's favor on him. When he was in Potiphar's house, God restrained him from touching that man's wife. But it got him thrown into a different kind of a hole, into a dungeon, he called it. He was thrown into a dungeon. But God's favor was upon him in the dungeon because he interpreted the dream of Pharaoh's servant. And then God's favor was upon him when the Pharaoh sent him and brought him out. And he interpreted the dream. And then all of a sudden, he's got gold and stuff hanging off him. And he's the top number two man in the whole country of Egypt. God's favor is on you. Amen. God's favor is on you. You say, well, I don't feel like his favor on you. Take another look. Number you in America, poverty in America is rich in other countries. Now, sadly, we got to look at another country to realize how good things are. But there's money laying all around the ground out here that people won't even pick up. It's in the form of cans and bottles and things like that. Oh, that's beneath me. You know, a penny is on the penny on the ground, and see a penny, you walk by it. Not me. I don't walk past pennies. Mm-mm. Yeah. I mean, there's money. I mean, it doesn't appear in the form that we want it to or that we're used to seeing it in because of the high muckety-mucks and people got their nose in the air. But there's money literally sprawled around on the ground in this country. See? It may take a little while to accumulate, but it's still there. You get $10, you got 10 more than you had. took you a week, but you got 10 more than you had. No more than picking it up and going and selling it, whatever, picking those pennies, doing little odd jobs. I mean, it's a rich country, even in poverty. It's still rich. Now, I know, you're looking at the rich lifestyle of the rich and famous. And you're comparing that. Those are some of the most miserable people in the world. They don't know who their friends are. They can't trust their relatives. Somebody's always trying to get a piece of the pie. Always trying to trick them. These people don't bother with you with that unless they're just full of tricks. Mm-hmm. Look how rich we are. I mean, we're rich. We really are. We're doing okay. You got peace, or you should have it, because you have He who is the Prince of Peace in you. And if you're not living in peace, whose fault is that? God has given you everything needful and necessary for life and godliness. He has given you everything needful. It's in you. So we have the Prince of Peace. When Joseph was in Egypt, he had two sons. Those two sons was Manasseh and Ephraim. Manasseh was the oldest and Ephraim was the youngest. That word Jacob, by the way, means supplanter. It also means heel catcher, which is what he did to his brother when, at the time of birth, he grabbed his heel. He was 147 years old, Jacob, when he died. Genesis 47:28 tells that. He was buried in a cave in the land of Machpelah. He was buried along with Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebecca, and Leah, his first wife. Hebrews 11:21 again says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. He blessed both sons of Joseph. And he eventually died and they buried him there. Now, Rachel, we told you about Rachel's death, that she's buried with Abraham and those. Not Rachel, but Leah. We told you about Leah's death. But there in Genesis 48:1-22, in verse 7, he says, and as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan, in the way, when yet there was but a little way to go into Ephrath. He said, I buried her there in the way of Ephrath. The same as Bethlehem. Rachel was buried in Bethlehem. Bethlehem. And you remember that old crazy king went and killed all of the children 2 years and under? And it says that there was, in Ramah, there was a voice that could not be comforted. Rachel weeping for her children because they were not. Well, where did he go looking? Where the Savior was born, in Bethlehem. The same place Rachel was buried. And so this is a phenomenal, another type here where Rachel died and was buried in Bethlehem, where all of the children were killed. They're looking to try to destroy the Christ. And it quotes a scripture, an Old Testament scripture, an account of Rachel looking for her children, and she would not be comforted. This Rachel is the Rachel that they're talking about. She was buried there in Bethlehem. Coming up on Jacob's death here, Genesis 48, verse 8. Y'all can read along with me on this if you like. About his death and Joseph's sons. Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel, see his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God has showed me also thy seed. You know why, right? because he had been thrown into a hole and sold into slavery. But the other part I forgot to tell you was that they took that coat of many colors back covered with blood and told the dad that an animal must have got him, and this is all we have left. And Jacob could have just died. He was so messed up by it, he was just totally devastated. So this verse here says that he didn't expect to see his face, but now I'm looking at your offspring. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. Joseph took them, both Ephraim and in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, purposefully. For Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. I gotta tell you something. I'm gonna finish this, but I just kinda got a prompt that I can tell you this. Sometime between now and the end of the study of the book of Hebrews, the Lord is going to allow me to speak a blessing on you. Individual blessings on each of you. Now, he's going to have to prepare me for this. I don't know when, but it'll be sometime between now and the end of Hebrews. And also, after we finish the last verse of the last chapter, I believe there will be one more teaching of the entire book. We will go back through the whole thing. We'll do it in one message. But those are the three things that he's shown me, something that he wants for you. A blessing, a spoken blessing, which you should be getting blessed now by the word, but this is something special that he's wanting to impart. So, okay, Lord, I can finish now. Where did I start? Well, that kind of hit me sort of hard there. Verse 10 and 18, and Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn, put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren. You know what that is? That's a double portion. That's a part of the blessing, is a double portion. Now, Joseph was one of the younger. Only one younger than him was Benjamin, but Joseph got a raw deal. So I gave you one portion above your brethren. He gave him a double portion. Praise the Lord. Typically preserved for the firstborn. He says, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. And so by faith, he blessed the sons of Joseph. And what he did was he crossed his hands over, and his hands were like crossed. Joseph had him set so he could put his right hand on the oldest and his left hand on the youngest. But when Jacob blessed, he crossed over and he did it like this and began to speak a blessing. Joseph said, not so, that's not right. This is the oldest. I know it. I know it. So he was doing this by faith because typically it's the oldest gets the blessing. But for some reason in God's economy, and we've been seeing him do this, he says, the younger shall be greater than the eldest. The younger is greater than the eldest. Cain was the oldest. Abel was the youngest. Abel's sacrifice was accepted. And Cain, the eldest, was rejected. And as you come down through history, for some reason, we find this. Y'all ready for something? God had two sons. He has the first Adam, and he has the last Adam. And he did. The first Adam rejected, but the last Adam accepted, big time accepted. I said, "Well, how, Lord? How could you? How could he be your son?" Jesus was the last Adam in the flesh. He was the God man made flesh. That way, he's a brother of Adam in the sense that he was born as a human being, as Adam was a human being. Only he was the begotten Son of God in the flesh. Whew. Hey, Israel is God's first, but God has blessed us. Praise the Lord, y'all. Go, hallelujah. Give him praise. He's blessed us, y'all. How blessed are we? How blessed are we? We are so blessed, y'all. When we go out here and folks start cutting the fool and your mind, you know, your mind works on you, boy, your mind gives you a fit. One of your worst enemies is that thing right in your little cranial there. It gives you a fit. You wind up depressed and feeling bad. Nobody ain't said one thing to you, but all of a sudden you're down in the dumps. Wait a minute, why are you down in the dumps? What happened? Did you lose someone? Did you lose some money? What happened? Did you get fired? Or nothing's happened. Well, why are you depressed? I just feel bad. We're fighting a warfare, y'all. We're fighting a super warfare. God, Jesus says that they might have joy. That they might have joy. And listen, the only way to do it is to trust him for it. He will bring you out just as quick as you will ask him to bring you out. It's that easy. It's that quick, and it's that simple. Sometimes just say, "Lord, have mercy." Just don't sit there and say, "I'm going to figure this out." You're not going to figure this out because you are under attack. Not only do demons attack you, you attack you too. I'm not what I should be. I think I should have more. I'm a failure. If I had done this, I'd be there. Well, you didn't, and you're not, and you're not going to get it. But you are who you are in Christ. And you are so far ahead. Now, if you were rich, do you think you'd be here? Answer me. No, you wouldn't. You'd be down there supporting some big church somewhere and recognition and everything. So God bless you. Hallelujah. Not saying you won't be, but despise not small beginnings. Amen. Well, Father, thank you for this word and helping us through this. Thank you, Lord, for helping me through it. Father, help us to hold on to these truths somewhere deep down inside. Lord, we need these truths for our lives. Bless us, Lord, and keep us. And thank you, Lord, for blessing us. 2013 to be here in 2014 to once again worship you. Father, we dedicate our lives and ourselves to you this first service of the year. And we hope, Lord, that you will take advantage of us and be more Lord than ever. In Jesus' name, amen.